Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Go to hell, Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Kevin Michael Whitey Gleason in for Mark Willard today. Hope you have big Friday plans. Dibs, you got big Friday plans?
No big Friday plans. Just, you know, trying to shuffle on back home and gear up for Sunday's bets with Guru and myself on the BetQL Network. Find it on the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app and go to the BetQL Network. 9-1, Sunday's bets.
Jeez. All right.
Yeah.
looking forward to that. Nick Friedell's going to join us in just a moment here with the latest on Kyrie and whatever's going on with the Nets and what that could mean for the rest of the NBA and, of course, the Warriors as well. On the text line here, Comcast Business text line, 888-957-9570, 415. Kyrie Irving needs psychiatric help. Kevin Durant needs a dog. Enough about these two immature clowns.
Yeah, man, I love the off-season heat that's coming out.
From the 925, watch the elite international soccer teams and you'll love the game. Liverpool, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Juventus. I don't dislike soccer. I just don't understand it. How about Sac Republic FC? Would that be another team I could put on that list, Dibs?
Yes, absolutely. Oakland Roots, yeah. San Jose Earthquakes. I mean, really, soccer at any level. I'm not saying under eight. You can go out there and appreciate the nuance of it. But any decent level soccer, it's fun to watch. The more you watch it, the more you understand the nuance of the scoring chance. And they actually have advanced metrics now. If you're interested in gambling on soccer, they have a metric called expected goals, where even if it's a 0-0 game, one team might have had a 0.75 expected goals for that game. So there's ways to quantify threatening positions, pass combinations, free kicks, corners, and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have nothing against soccer. I'm kind of ignorant of what's going on when I watch it, and I don't have any emotional stake in
right.
this team or that team. So
Whitey, they try to kick a ball into the net, which is called the goal. That's the main thing you got to do there.
How's the globe?
All right. Why is that hard? I mean, right? I mean,
fast-paced. There's lots of people. There's these goalies that are like, man, like 6'5" and long arms, Dibs. And
with gloves,
with
too.
Gloves. And yeah. Sometimes got leather helmets.
Petr
goalies.
Check.
You didn't mention goalies. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Goalies and helmets.
Dibs was nice enough to give Sheen and I tickets to an Earthquakes game years ago when you were doing Earthquakes games, of course, and it was against the Vancouver Whitecaps, and it was a great match, and it was 0-0 into regulation. It's like, okay, that's it. And Sheena was furious. Like, what? Where? Nobody won. They're not done yet. It's like, no, it's soccer. That's they're finished.
No penalty kicks, no pistols at the 18. Just a draw. We part as friends. We each take our 1 point and go.
From the 510, I tried watching soccer. It's rough. You have to watch the whole thing because if you turn your back for a second, it might be the only action of the game.
Well, again, as you get more astute as a soccer watcher, there are times where you're going to get slight delays, whether it's a player in the 30th minute who goes down after a tackle and you see like six guys go over and get their water bottle. You know that this player probably isn't hurt. He's staying down for the good of all 22 guys out there. Mm-hmm. So you start to get the nuance of the stoppages. Like in football, if you're an astute football watcher, you see a play, and you know that this team is not playing a lot of hurry-up, so you got 30 seconds to maybe toggle over to the other game and toggle back real quick. You get into the rhythm of a football game because we've all been watching it for so long.
Yeah, I've got a lot to learn there. I'm trying to keep an open mind, but for now, I'll focus on the NBA at our next guest. Nice enough to join us. Longtime friend of the station. He works here, for crying out loud. ESPN NBA insider, Nets beat reporter, the one, the only, Nick Friedell. How you doing, brother Nick?
Guys, I miss you. I was just telling Charlie before I came on, it never stops. This, all the stuff, the drama that goes around with this team and the league itself, it just never, ever stops. And to think that the Warriors go with it all and are rolling now, and I'm hanging around the Nets, who have nonstop drama because of Kyrie, it is pretty funny.
Shout out the clash with Should I Stay or Should I Go, Kyrie Irving. What? Thank you, Nick. And Kevin Durant may or may not want to be there. But Durant's got 4 years and $190-plus million. Doesn't it really come down to Kyrie? And how much does Kevin want Kyrie to go elsewhere?
Mr. Gibbs, I think that the Nets front office has got to love the fact that KD came out on his podcast this morning, or at least it was released this morning, and he said, hey, I'm just trying to stay out of this whole thing. And once he said that, to me, the tea leaves are, hey, I saw how screwed up everything got at times this past season. And he is close with Kyrie, but I've been told a couple different times, even in the last couple weeks, while he's very close and he's loyal to Kyrie and that friendship has always been there, it's also not as close always as it appears to be from what we see on the floor. And in the times that he has publicly defended him, yes, they're close friends, but I don't think Kevin is going to stand in the way, from what he said, of if the Nets want to move on in a different direction. Because let's get real here about this whole situation. The Nets' whole season last year got derailed because of Kyrie. If Kyrie has gotten vaccinated and played in those games, the entire tenor of that year is different. James Harden for sure is still there because he was the one after the game in January that said, I'm going to give Kyrie the shot myself. So there's a lot of different layers in this. But in the short term, I thought it was very telling that Kevin came out and said, hey, I'm going to let the organization kind of handle it and work it out with Kyrie. Because, Dibs, you and I both know, if Kevin was strong enough in his feeling of wanting Kyrie back, then he would say, I want Kyrie back. And the fact that he kind of laid it out the way that he did leads me to believe that if they do go in that other direction, that he will have signed off on it.
Nick Friedell with us here on 95.7 The Game. It's Willard and Dibs, Whitey in for Willard. So given all that, Nick, and I know my understanding is Kyrie has till Wednesday to decide what he wants to do, whether he wants to opt in. Is there any real chance that he stays, given all that? And if he does ask for a sign-in trade, do you have any idea where he's likely to end up?
Whitey, I think the Nets are kind of hoping that he does pick it up.
Uh-huh.
Like a prove-it year. Like, all right. Pick up your $36 million option. Show us that you want to play every day. And then we'll be willing to talk at the end of next year. But if he wants extra years and he wants the certainty of those guarantees, it sure seems like he's going to have to go elsewhere. But to the point about where he would go, the question then becomes, if he opts out or he's going to try to force the Nets' hand on getting a signing trade, he's going to probably have to leave a whole lot of money on the table. And we're talking about at least $30 million this year if he's going to one of the teams that are on that list that we heard about last night. And then after that, Kyrie, having been around him, guys, you just aren't sure where his head is at all the time. And one day you might think it's going one way, and the next day it could be something totally different. And that's what I think the Nets, frankly, are sick of. I think Sean Marks laid it out pretty well, and he spoke for a lot of people when he gave that end-of-season press conference the other day and saying, hey, we want guys who want to be here. And nobody questioned Kyrie's talent, but but they questioned the desire to be in there day after day after day. So if he does leave, and Whitey, you know, who knows what's going to happen in these next few days, feels like the Lakers would probably be the place he would want to go to the most because of the relationship with LeBron. But I would just warn any team that's going to get into business with Kyrie Irving. The talent is there, and that has always been the case. But you are going to lead the league in a category that nobody wants to lead the league in, and that's drama. And that is something that's just not going to go away if you put Kyrie Irving on your team.
Maybe get an Advil sponsorship for the headaches, eh, Nick?
Whatever it takes, maybe. There's got to be a way to monetize the whole thing all the time. And knowing Kyrie, I'm sure he would get into some kind of business with all of it, too.
No doubt. You mentioned the Lakers. What other team do you think he could join of the rumored teams? Clippers, Knicks, Heat, Mavericks, Sixers. What other team could he make the biggest impact on?
I would think he would really do well in Dallas. And Dibs, Mark Cuban has an ego big enough to believe that I'm sure it could potentially work there with Luka. I don't see it working in Miami. I know there's a lot of questions there, especially if Kevin were to leave as well. But I was just covering that team for the last 6 weeks or so, and that is a culture down there that is defined by showing up and putting in the work and being about the team. And maybe things could change with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. Maybe it is possible. I wouldn't put my money on it, though. So out of all those other teams, if he really wants to go and be in a great place and try to win, I would think Dallas actually fits, and he could fit there. But, again, I say that they want Luka to have the ball and be able to create. Well, so Kyrie needs that, too. I mean, Kyrie needs the ability to kind of choose his own path offensively and needs the structure of having guys around him who can help him in a lot of different ways. So from a basketball standpoint, Kyrie is really, really good enough to find a way to make it work in different situations. But it's just all the other stuff that when you're paying a guy that much money, for me, if I was running a team, I wouldn't want to get involved in it.
Yeah, the drama is just not conducive to winning. Nick Friedell with us on 95.7 The Game. Nick, I understand Durant wanted to leave OKC. Okay, he wanted to come here, fine. He wanted to leave here, fine. But I do question how in the world he thought this was going to end differently, hitching his wagon to Kyrie Irving, given what Kyrie did in Boston. So what was KD expecting? Why in the world did he expect that Kyrie would be more stable with the Nets than it's turned out?
Whitey, it's a great question, and I think the answer, at least for Kevin, is he was just trusting his friend. And they had developed a solid friendship off the floor. They've known each other a while, and the feeling was, hey, you know, we can make this work, and we'll be there for each other. And for a variety of different reasons. Everybody will focus on the vaccine stuff, but there was stuff 2 years ago. You know, what was he going to show up, and was he in a right mental frame of mind? I don't know. And if Whitey, if we have learned anything through the years to try and read what's going on in Kevin's mind, that is something that drives him nuts from a media standpoint, but only he can answer those questions. The only thing I would say to the people out there in the Bay who are going to listen to this conversation, and they're screaming at the radios right now saying, oh, see, you never should have left Steph. You never should have left Steph. I think it goes beyond that. I would always argue that Kevin was just kind of done with the Warriors experience. I don't think personally that had anything to do with Steph, because I think even today those two are pretty close, and that relationship has withstood. Same goes for Draymond. They had their problem at the end of that third season, but obviously they have patched things up. I just think Kevin was done with his time on that team. What you can always question and will be questioned about for years and years to come in the annals of NBA history, why, of all people, would he attach himself to Kyrie Irving? and only he has that answer. But I think it goes back to the friendship that had been built, the trust that was involved, and the feeling of, well, we can make it work together. But Whitey, as we've seen, this doesn't seem like anybody can really make it work with Kyrie at this point, at this stage in his career.
Yeah, if he's not going to put in the work, it's tough to win a championship when you don't have that work. LeBron James, for all his peculiarities, has always been one of the hardest workers in the association. You mentioned being tired of the Warriors' way. Can you ever see Andrew Wiggins growing tired of what has become the Wiggins' way with the Warriors?
I don't see how, because Mr. Dibbs, that organization has forever changed the narrative around Wiggins' career. And it is a credit to Andrew Wiggins, I've said it time and time again over the last few months, that he has embraced the culture that the Warriors have, and he has become the type of player that we have seen, because especially in the last few months, he's reached a level that, sure, I think some people thought was possible, but after what they had seen in Minnesota all those years, they never thought the consistency of that level would ever be there. And the Warriors have brought the most out of him. So I know he's got a little time left on that deal, but Dibs, if you're Andrew Wiggins, why would you leave? You've got a team that believes in you. You've got players and teammates that trust you and that know you're going to be out there every night playing at a very high level. That's what he's been searching for his entire career. I mean, this team is the gold standard right now, not only in the league, but for any player who has gotten miscast, at least in their mind, and wants a fresh start somewhere. The Warriors have shown that they can be that team, and there is no more shining example of that than the transformation of Andrew Wiggins over the last year or so.
Nick, as for the point you made about Kyrie, I mean, at this point, hitching your wagon to Kyrie is about as advisable as hitching your wagon to Ray Ratto's. I mean, just those prima donnas, you know, it's like, good luck. Go ahead. We wish you all the luck in the world. But I want to ask you, Nick, and I know that there were many people, you were among them, there were many people, including some of the Warriors, that were kind of skeptical as to whether they could do it this year. Even Steve Kerr said, yeah, I didn't know if we were a championship team. So that said, what were the Warriors able to do that allowed them to actually win this thing that you did not anticipate they would be capable of in this postseason?
Whitey, to me, it all boils down to defense. I never, never thought that the Warriors could maintain what they had done at times last season. And I know in talking to Steve Kerr, he said it many times, what they did down the stretch of last year set up how they started to perform and produce this year. But when you have a magical year like the Warriors just accomplished, you have to hit all over the place. Gary Payton II, who was an afterthought all across the league for years, was trying to find his way, became a huge part of that. Otto Porter continued to get hurt and appeared to be on the other side of his career. He was solid and was out there all the time. I mean, Jordan Poole takes a leap. Wiggins takes another leap in his career. Whitey, you have to make sure that all of these different pieces hit in a manner that lifts up everybody else around them. And when you talk about defense, Draymond at times wasn't very good the last couple of years. He comes in to start this season, and he was awesome. And he was awesome again at times in the postseason when they needed him. So when you have all of those things working for you, and then you add the greatness that is Steph Curry, you get the type of stuff that happened over the last year. But to me, if you're looking at how did the Warriors get to this point when myself and plenty of other people in the organization were like, I don't know if it's going to happen this season. It's because defensively everything came together and it stayed intact all year. And when the offense wasn't clicking or Clay couldn't get it going after the injury at times, that defense was always something they could carry with them and they could rely upon when they needed it in the biggest games.
Yeah, great point. Nick, we appreciate your time. Before we let you go, anything at all jump out to you about the draft last night?
Not really. I mean, Whitey, all the people usually who tell you this or that after the draft are people who have seen these guys three or four times all year. And I tell you, after all the years covering the NBA, all the prognostications and all the fans that get all upset about this pick or that pick the day after, my word of advice always is, let's let this thing play out.
Oh, how dare you.
Three seasons.
How dare you, Nick? I defy you to ask me about any player in the draft, and I've already scouted this player. I've spent 100 hours on each player, Nick. Ask me anything.
There's a 0% chance of that, Mr. Dibbs, although I do love you. And I would just throw this name out there because I think it brings the conversation full circle. Jordan Poole was drafted at the end of that first round a few years ago.
I like the player.
Jordan Poole, he was awful. I mean, he was terrible that first year and a half. They get him into the structure of what they're building. They know he's going to put in the work, and we all see what he did the last year or so. But he is another shining example of what can be and why you can't write off anybody too early.
Well, you go back to my draft coverage that year, Nick, and I said I like the upside of a player who's got a lot of confidence in the half court. He can score at all three levels, Nick. I gave that pick a C+.
Yeah, a lot of guys with a lot of high motor, huh?
Yeah, high motor's always in there. A lot of upside. Very coachable. He can score at all three levels, Nick.
High basketball IQ.
Totally, all that and more.
Scheme diverse, yeah. Thank you, Brother Nick. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Always, guys. I miss you. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Nick.
Yeah, we appreciate it. I don't know what's going on with Kyrie in this sense, Dibs. Like, KD, why in the world did he think, oh, yeah, me and Kyrie, that'll be great? I don't understand that, and I don't understand, you know, at least one of these teams is going to be, hey, look at that. Kyrie's available. Let's do that. Why? Yeah. Why are they going to do that?
Because he's an unbelievable offensive force, and he's one of the eight best players in the league. I mean, just full stop, boom, end the sentence there. Now, if you want to go further down the article, yeah, he thinks the earth is flat. And yeah, he chose not to get a vaccine, even though knowing that would basically implode his entire team's chances of doing anything because he'd have to miss half the season. And so many other peculiarities and kind of a quixotic personality that belies the unbelievable talent. And it's so tempting, though, because you watch the highlights on mute and you see a guy who can cross anyone over, left hand, right hand, finish. Mm-hmm. He can score all three levels, Whitey, I've always said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
The first indication that something was amiss to me was when he wanted out of Cleveland, right? Because they won a championship. It's like, I've had enough of this. Like, really? Well, maybe. I remember thinking, okay, well, I guess maybe, you know, he's really good. Maybe playing with LeBron and being in that shadow, maybe it's too much for a guy like that who's a really good player. Okay, that makes it. Then he goes to Boston, and it implodes. And then the Nets bring him in, and that thing unravels. And now somebody else is going to do it again. Why? Why? Don't you know how this movie is going to end, and it's going to be a disaster film.
Well, it's just like the one partner who looks at their spouse and says, I can change them. I'm going to be the one to be able to change them and take all their bad habits, and those are going to go away because they're with me. And essentially, ultimately, people are who they are. And I don't know if Kyrie Irving at this point in his career can all of a sudden, be a dedicated, hardworking, I'm sold out for the team kind of player because he hasn't been that guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting, and that's new news, a new note on this whole Kyrie KD drama. Nick Friedell sharing with us that today on KD's podcast, at least the podcast that came out today, KD said, I'm out on this. They can handle it. So that's significant that he did not publicly support either side, but just KD's like, I'm out, my man. Have a good night. Which to me says Kyrie's almost certainly gone.
Well, Kyrie can opt in, and, you know, it's a player option. So he can opt in and put the Nets in the crosshairs, because if KD feels this way, which is like, don't drag me into this, you kind of made your bed, Kyrie, you got to lie in it. Whatever KD's thought is, you're right, he didn't stand up and defend him. But if you're Kyrie, you call the Nets bluff and say, I know that I don't want to be here, and I know that you know that I don't want to be here, and I know that you don't want me to be here, and I know that you know that KD doesn't want me to be here.
You're right.
I'm picking up my option. Deal with it, Brooklyn.
Yeah. From the 510, I think the mission for KD was he had to get out of Golden State. His friend just happened to join him. KD just thinks differently. We all know people like that. Hashtag Dibs laugh.
Either one works, Fidel.
Yeah.
And I think we got a new Fidel in there, which is why I queued up the joke and tried to lay out after. That way we could see if we can get some new Fridell in the system.
Stay tuned. What Draymond thought of the Warrior draft, that's next here. It's Willard and Dibs. Whitey's in for Willard today on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Whitey in for Willard today. This segment brought to you by your Northern California Toyota dealer. Shenya, my wife, just got a brand new Toyota Camry Hybrid. And Dibs, she won't let the dog in it, and she won't let me drive it.
Nice. Two great choices by the lovely Shenya. The dog, your dog in particular, he's a menace. Moby the Menace. He's the scourge of all hounds everywhere. He's an intimidator. He's a bully. And I'm sure he smells like a dog. So good on her keeping him out. And honestly, if you were to drive it, the amount of seat moving, mirror changing, and the rest of it, Kashinya, you know, if she was in the NBA, she probably would be in the backcourt.
I think so.
You're more of a stretch four, so the amount of seat maneuvering that would have to take place, she's making good choices.
I was kind of proud of my dog yesterday because I mentioned our neighbor came in the backyard just, you know, and our neighbors don't normally do that. And Moby, like, you know, rah, let him know that he wasn't welcome.
Of course he did.
Yeah. So then Skip, my neighbor, gave him some of these, you know, like milk bones. And so Skip gives him the milk bones. Moby eats it. And then as soon as he ate it, rah,
right back to work.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take your food, but you're still not welcome here. Hey, big draft for the Warriors last night, Dibs. Patrick Baldwin Jr. I could have sworn you mentioned him yesterday. Maybe I imagined that, but I thought I know I didn't mention him, but I thought you did mention him at one point yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think I did unless I was, you know, lifting it from somebody else's homework. So
that's
I don't even want to take credit, even if I did mention it, because, you know, always on those draft day shows, you know, people are throwing out names and we're throwing out names. And it's like, if I can say this guy's name and they pick him tomorrow, for one day, I am a draft genius.
Right, right.
Like your guy out of Arizona.
Christian Coloco.
Coloco, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And he was on the board. I'm sure you were sitting there thinking, Coloco, Coloco, Coloco.
I was. I'm cuckoo for Coloco. Yeah. Really wanted the Warriors to get him.
Cuckoo for Coloco. It's nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you notice, I'm sure you did, watching the draft, that at Draft HQ for the Warriors, Draymond Green was there.
Yeah, and thank God. And, you know, his... no, seriously.
What?
His 2 cents, it's critical. In a normal year, like last year, for example, when the Warriors are out in April, I'm sure he put in a lot of homework and he was really a contributing factor in the room. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that he had even half a clue. I mean, he's basically doing what we're doing, Google searching guys. The guy just got off the court last week. How much college tape did he really break down?
Doesn't that say something, though, about his desire to win, to be the best, to go to Draft HQ? How many NBA players were anywhere near their team's Draft HQ? You think Kyrie was at Draft HQ for the Nets yesterday?
Probably not. Yeah, probably not. It was a player option, and he opted out.
Mm-hmm. Steph was at Great America, going 5-12 at the basketball show cardist.
He struggled from the short corner early.
Yeah, that video is a couple days old, though, right?
It is, yeah.
Tell Spadone that, or just roll with his story that's where...
Well, we were just going back to players that were committed. Clearly, Steph isn't, right?
Gotcha.
True.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Sometimes, you know, it's good to come down Spadone's road. Other times, you just got to pick your battles, Whitey.
Yeah, we have that coming up right now. I wanted to play a Draymond real quick.
Pause. Stop the music. Stop the damn music, Spadone.
Because
we got takes.
Real quick, I'm going here with Draymond. This is what Bob Myers was asked. Hey, Draymond was there. What did Draymond think of you know, the selection. So here's Bob Myers on what Draymond thought of the Warriors draft.
He was in the room. I don't know if you guys saw on TV. He hasn't really had a chance to study the draft as much. He watched it. He asked who he was after we took him. He said, I want to talk to him. Draymond's pretty engaged and involved, but I don't think he's talked to him yet. But he asked us more, what's he like? What can he do? I said, he plays well with you. I mean, he'd be a guy that can stretch the floor and he's smart. I said, he's the type of guy that, you know, we'll remember all the plays immediately. Again, being a coach's son, not that it makes a player be a good thinker, but most of them are. They've been around the game their whole life. So Draymond values that kind of thinking player. But he liked it. You know, if he didn't, he would tell me. There's no problem doing that.
All right, so Dibs, I apologize.
No. I mean, you know, thank you, Spadoni. Hey, Spadoni, stop the music. I mean, you jump me once on the one more, Dave, and then you hit him with a bonus question. You dunked on me for Friedel, and now this. Oh, normally I'd let it go, but this is a battle I've decided to pick, Spadoni.
Well done. That was great.
We'll keep trying.
You know where you're going with that.
Stop the damn music. Now let it ride, Spadoni. This is fun. Because, hey, we're having donuts today, Whitey. I wish you were here, and Mark's not here, and Hot Take Jake, a.k.a. Kyle's not here, and the donuts.
Lots of donuts.
Shout out to Spadoni. He bought a good box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did.
Big brown box. Love it.
Yeah, and put it on the board, and that means the cycle is over, the 10-week period. Spadoni, your winner. 8-2.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Fortunately, he could win yesterday, Whitey, and win the best record in the history of the bit. 9-1 would have set the mark. Spadoni ties for the record at 8-2. Mark and I were 6-4, and good pick, Spadoni. And Kyle winds up at 4-6. You lost for your guy Mark Willard yesterday.
I did. I went with the A's and the money line, and they had a no-hitter going, and they came up just short with the feisty M scoring 2 in the ninth to nip the A's 2-1. Sorry about that, Mark Willard.
Yeah, the feisty A's, the always feisty Oakland Athletics, now owners of the worst record in Major League Baseball at 32-23-48. Yeah, boy.
Tough, that's and they're playing good. The second worst team in baseball tonight in Kansas City against the Royals.
Oh, that is so fun. I think actually Cincinnati is technically the second worst at this hour.
Boy.
Followed by the Nationals and then the aforementioned Royals. But why do we start a new cycle here? We start a new rack of picks. And did Mark Willard make a pick today?
Not. It's up to White Man.
I love it. Ooh. So get your pick ready. In the meantime, we go to Spadoni, who has Kyle's pick.
He's taken Nathan MacKinnon of the Colorado Avalanche. Obviously, it's game 5 tonight in Colorado. Colorado up 3-1 in the Stanley Cup Finals against the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's taken Nathan MacKinnon to score, Dibs. To score.
What are the odds on that?
-104.
What?
So just to score is -104?
Indeed.
Wow. That's not great odds for a guy to put the biscuit in the basket, but I do like the picks. Spadoni, you're at the top, so we'll have you go last. I think I finished behind Mark, so I'll go next. Back to college baseball, where I got burned again yesterday. I was on the wrong side of a Mississippi, Arkansas for the second straight day. I like my chances for tomorrow's game, game 1. I'm taking Oklahoma over Mississippi, +100 on the money line.
I got to ask you, what is that based on? I mean, I know you do very well on these, but how in the world do you know anything about either of those teams? Why are you making that wager? What is that based on?
Mississippi used its best pitcher. A guy threw a three-hit shutout in the elimination game yesterday. He won't be available, and the Oklahoma bats have been scalding in this postseason run. So,
all right,
I'm going with the bats of the Sooners, and for the pick from Mark Willard, we go to Kevin Gleason. What do you got, Kev?
Speaking of booming bats, the Giants offense back to life. And I think the park is going to be live tonight. Giants returning home. I think the place is going to be jumping, especially against a sorry team like the Reds. So I'm taking the over 7.5 tonight. The Giants and the Reds. It's -110. We're going over for the ball game, 7.5.
It's a good uptick. It's a decent tick. I'll give you 2 for the tick and a 3 for the pick. Spadone, defending champ, what do you got?
I think the Giants were snake bit a couple times in Atlanta, so I'm taking the Giants down against the putrid Reds, -1.5 on the run line.
There you have it. The picks are in. The new 10-game slate begins in earnest with picks tonight and this weekend, Whitey.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. And we've been talking today a little bit about baseball. What's wrong with baseball? Look at some of these teams you're talking about. The Giants playing the Reds. The A's are playing the Royals. That's one of the things wrong with baseball. There's too many terrible teams.
Yeah, and that's the problem with, I think, all sports. I slid over there. I was trying to hook JD up with the camera on situation on the Zoom. Steiny's in as well.
Oh,
I think you could say that about basketball and baseball. Football, I don't think we seem to care. Like if a 2-10 team faces a team that's 3-11,
still football.
And still fantasy football, I think, as well. And that's where maybe football's impervious to those bad matchups.
Well, it's time for the changeover now, which is going to be brought to you by Oakland PD Recruitment. Be the change you want to see. We get ready to hand things off to Steiny and John Dickinson. Steiny, how about that NBA draft last night?
Shut up, Whitey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what happened? Patrick Baldwin Jr., do you like him? You like his skill set?
I like the player. I like the upside. I didn't think it was a reach. I think he can score at all three levels.
Value pick.
High like basketball IQ. Great span. Great wingspan. Son of a coach. You know he's got a high IQ.
Yeah.
Let me be the first to say, he stinks.
Welcome to the Bay.
You're turning on PBJ.
Yeah. Steiny, I understand your point. You're right. Nobody knows anything about these guys, but it is interesting that the Warriors pick a guy who he had a terrible year last year. And I understand the upside, but it is rare for a guy to go in the first round of the NBA draft coming off a really bad year.
Yeah, Marcus Thompson had, I thought, a clever line about they're taking a – do you know what it was, Whitey? It was so clever, I can't remember.
It was check. Wow.
They're taking a heat check on player development. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. And you know what? Why not? Why not? The risk is low back there. You don't have to make – you know, something doesn't have to happen right away. So if they like the player, Dibs – you got to take him.
Yeah, and if you like the player, it's not a reach, no matter what other draft nicks and mock drafts indicate. And I think it's obvious that they do like the player, JD, because you and I yesterday were saying they may just get out of the first round as a cost-cutting measure. It makes fiscal sense to not pick a guy that you have to pay.
Right.
But if you like the player, then you pick the player, and you pay the player, and then you play the player.
Yeah, and this was somebody that was a top five recruit going into the 2021 class, coming out of high school. And so there's a lot of talent there. Bad year, had some options that he turned down as far as maybe better colleges, wanted to go play for his dad, and ended up injured and not very good.
And Pops got fired.
Yeah.
Pops got fired.
Uh-huh.
11 you are games listening. In the season.
Yeah, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Station. It's Willard and Dibs, Whitey in for Willard, changing over here, handing things off to Steiny and JD. Steiny, if you had the first pick in the NBA TV analyst draft, you get the first pick. NBA analysts, who would be your first pick? Who's the best analyst in TV now? The guy that you just hang on his every word.
Oh boy!
Well, you may lose the pick
here.
Quick.
Okay, I'll take. I will take. I'm going to take a reach. He's very new, but I've liked what I've heard. Jimmy Jackson. Yeah.
Wow. He was just on the show.
Great job.
JD, who you got with the second pick in the first round?
I'll take Jeff Van Gundy.
Jeff Van Gundy, yes. The superior of the Van Gundys. Dibs?
Give me... is Kalena still on the board? Give me Kalena.
Let me check. Yeah,
I'll take Kalena.
All right. And I would go Jalen Rose. I like Jalen Rose, Steiny. I think he's really good. And he has to take a back seat to Kendrick Perkins and Stephen A. Smith.
All right. I'll take Stan Van Gundy.
Well, that's where this thing comes to an end.
Yeah, I was going to end it there after the first round, but Steiny. Yeah, Steiny.
You know, the NBA draft used to be 10 rounds, Whitey.
Mm-hmm.
10 rounds. Yeah, a guy named Pete Mullenberg from Reading, Pennsylvania, was drafted once in the 10th round by the Philadelphia 76ers out of Delaware.
Steve Kettlevort out of Santa Clara, by way of Drake High School, played with my brother. I think he was an 8th round pick by the Warriors.
Yeah, there are a lot of... And then, of course, remember the touching tribute Red Auerbach had for Landon Turner when he selected him last in the... draft where Landon Turner suffered a serious car accident.
Right. Who could forget that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. JD, we had Friedel on today, and we're talking about everything going on with the Nets. Kyrie Irving, where in the world could he go? Who in the world would want him if he, in fact, opts out with the Nets? Is he going to go to the Lakers?
I mean, that may make the most amount of sense if they could figure out a way to get it done financially. But, I mean, who would want a guy that doesn't want to play half the time? You know, who would be good enough to account for somebody that only wants to play half the time?
Yeah, and
probably will become disgruntled and want to leave this time next year.
Well, and along the way, disgruntled and want to leave. It's one thing for you to have Draymond Green, who played, 52 games? It was a small number. He barely played more than half the games, but the sense of when he plays and the willingness to play and the willingness to play big at the end of the road makes it okay to tolerate the fact that he was a 60% guy this year.
It's, you know what's funny is John, I'm getting the sense you're not a big Kyrie fan.
I'm not.
Right. And I can kind of see
when he wants to play.
I can kind of see that. This is one where if I were another team, I'd have to, this is where to me a Pat Riley or a Jerry West comes in. Because I'd want to know what those guys think, because they seem to have the perfect understanding of the fine line between a guy who wants to play, a guy who doesn't want to play, a guy who's salvageable, a guy who's not salvageable, a guy who's got unbelievable talent, more than most players, and if you can just get him to play. But I don't trust a lot of organizations with that. You know what I mean, JD? I don't trust a lot of organizations.
Well, yeah, Pat Riley would bring Kyrie Irving in, and he'd look him in the eye, and he'd, with a few expletives, be like, you give a bleep?
Right.
You want to play for me? If you don't want to play for me, then I won't get you. But if you want me to come and get you, you better F and play for me.
Yeah, right. Playing where with we Jimmy are with Butler this, makes that an even more complicated question. Go ahead, Whitey.
I think this is like Antonio Brown when he went to the Patriots and it didn't work. I think that's where Kyrie is now.
Really?
I don't know. If Kyrie were to go to the Heat, there's no way. Kyrie Irving, given what we know of him, and he didn't want to get vaccinated, there's no way he could adapt to the Heat culture. And I don't think there's any way the Heat culture, such as it is, could assimilate somebody with that approach. He would like to win, but he doesn't need to win. There's other things that are more important to him.
You really think he's gotten down to Antonio Brown? I mean, Kyrie Irving's still going to get, he is going to be a free agent. He's either going to get himself out of there or he's going to get paid.
I don't think he loves the game.
I don't either, but my point is Antonio Brown couldn't command $100 million at this point in his career like Kyrie Irving still can.
Well, no, I think he could before his first misstep. Maybe when he went to the Raiders is when he still was at the peak of Antonio Brownness. When he left Pittsburgh the first time, and I think that Whitey's just making the comp of the aloof nature of somebody who is so supremely talented. Look at Antonio Brown's 4-year or 5-year run in Pittsburgh. He was on pace to own every record.
I hear you, and I'm just
saying. Don't sleep on him now. Don't sleep on AB.
I think
You're sleeping.
Antonio Brown, at least in the last 2 years, has been more of a problem than Kyrie has.
Right, but my point, you're right. There's no question. You can see that. I think they're both the situations are unsalvageable, and Antonio Brown's further down that path. But I think whoever, and someone's going to do it now. You're right. No one is going to go get Antonio Brown. Someone's probably going to bring in Kyrie Irving, and I don't think it has any chance of being successful.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough, as Gary Radnich used to say.
Man,
name dropping out of the past.
By the way, on the text line, people are wondering why we didn't draft Doris Burke or Hubie Brown, Steiny, in the analyst draft.
I thought about Hubie Brown, and I thought about Doris Burke, but our audience is so smart. I think they would have perceived the Burke pick first to be pandering.
Wow. Well, and honestly, you didn't pick her for every. She does play-by-play and sideline as well.
Exactly.
She's not, she cannot be pigeonholed into a simple box as an analyst draft. Shame on you, texters.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was the postman in Capitola. So, Steiny, what do you and JD have coming up today?
We're going to have Patrick Baldwin Jr. hopefully around 1:30. A very interesting story. There's no doubt about it. He hasn't played much in the last 2 years, neither his senior year in high school or played 11 games last year at Milwaukee. Then his dad got fired. Yeah, third Milwaukee player now for the Golden State Warriors, Looney Poole. And this guy, if he makes the team. So I'm looking forward to talking to him. JD and I were talking about what the Warriors are going to do moving forward. Draymond Green in the draft room kind of intrigues me. Not, it doesn't JD as much, but we'll see where that goes. I mean, is he in there as a player or is he in there as a media member?
Mm-hmm. I heard the cut we just played from Bob Myers, who said, yeah, Draymond asked me who he is. He told him how I think they're going to get along and how he's going to remember all the plays. So I'm not sure how significant Draymond's presence was.
Well, I was talking to JD about this. A couple things. Yeah, I would want to know Draymond Green says about a player that he sees a little bit of, because I do think he's incredibly, incredibly bright. My thing is, you know, the draft room used to be the sacred place, not even for players. Draymond's got a podcast. I mean, might we find out that, I told Bob we had a chance to get Kyrie Irving draft night, but he didn't want to pull, like, what about all that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Could be interesting.
Yeah. Looking forward to the conversation. Anything else, Dibs?
Well, that's pretty much it for the conversation.
No, that's pretty much it for the conversation.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Dibs. It's been fun. Appreciate it. Stick around. We got Steiny and JD next right here. They start now on 95.7 The Game.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.